I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome a group that I don't think has been here before. And it is three members of what's usually a quartet, Brasszilla. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
And they are Bob DeBoer on trumpet, who is a UMD alum. Welcome back, Bob. Zach Zins on trombone. And we have Hal Longley here on sousaphone. And I'm so excited to have a sousaphone in the studio, Hal. I believe it's the first time. That's always a lot of fun. And Andy Deckard is normally the drummer. He couldn't quite make it here in time, but he will be at the show tonight, which is happening at Beaner Central, and it's their EP release show, and it also features local people Andy Lipke and Gio Pooks, and it all starts at 7. Did I get that all right?
All right.
Well, why don't you get started with the song? You have an EP out, but I think you told me that without the drummer, you might not be able to do some of the tunes in there. Is that right?
I think they'll just have to come down to hear the really good new songs. But these are pretty good, too. These are ones we put out in 2017.
Oh, nice. Okay. And I can attest to that. The EP is really fun and really great. And I'm so excited to have a brass band in here. It's not something that we've had brass accompanying other bands before, but I don't think we've had just plain brass. So that's it. That's fun. What do you want to start with?
The first tune we're going to do is called Kelda Index.
That is Brasszilla live from Studio A. Well, in reading, you have a very thorough bio, which as a radio person, I appreciate on your website, and so many interesting things. You all have done so many different kinds of music. You're all still in various projects, so I'm not even quite sure where to begin. But let's just start with the beginning of this band, which you were in another band called Chugalin together. So who wants to talk about that?
Well, While we were in Shuglin, we got the opportunity to take several national and international tours. On one of those tours, we were in Paris, France. We had just loaded into the club, set things up, and went back to the green room. The door to the green room was out, open to the outside world. The river was going past, and we started playing our very first Brassella song.
Wow.
And we were very excited because as we were playing this, some of the passersby walked in and said, "That's great. Are you guys playing tonight?"
That's a good way to get you started. And we were, it was a discussion we'd had. That was a real loud rock and roll band. And Hal showed up with some charts and said, "Let's have this as our kind of music to get ourselves grounded and listening to each other." And so that's really how the band started. And from there, it just slowly, we didn't even think about playing out with it for quite a while, but it really turned into something eventually.
Right, it was almost sort of a way for the horns to practice different style of music than the loud rock and roll band where we were just the horn section, right? It's a great band, a lot of fun to be a part of it, but to do something different while we were on the road to kind of keep our chops up, keep us out of the beer cooler in the middle of the day. And so it turned into a really nice thing. Once Shuglin broke up, we decided, well, let's keep playing together. We enjoyed playing together, and here we are, 8 years later.
And then Hal started writing.
Nice. Yeah. And Hal, it says you are a multi-instrumentalist, so what else have you played in your career?
Well, on previous Brassella albums, I have played sousaphone, contrabass trombone, bass trombone, mellophonium, didgeridoo. What did I forget? Conch shells.
For Hal, it's easier to name the instruments he doesn't play.
Yeah, but other stuff you...
besides the low brass family, I also play keyboard, synthesizers, and bass guitar.
Nice. And so tell me about the sousaphone, since that is an instrument we don't see in here very often. Is it the marching band instrument that you see with the big horns and the big tuba and the...
You know, any time a tuba wraps around the body, it's probably a sousaphone.
Okay.
My sousaphone happens to have been made in 1927, so it's a rather old one, and it's got a great sound. I love playing it.
Where did you get it?
I got it when I was 13 years old.
Really?
And I've been playing this specific instrument since then.
Holy cow. Wow. Have you tried others, and this one just...
This is the only sousaphone I like playing.
Okay.
Last year on Facebook, some guy said, "How much would that sousaphone be? How much would that sousaphone be?" And he said, I said, "I think that'll never be for sale."
You're going to be buried with that someday,
yeah.
Maybe.
you could fit in that case. Carries it around.
Well, it's a fun instrument, a different sound than, you know, what you hear on some... Although it's part of lots of musical traditions. So tell me about that. What other musical traditions do you find that in and that you incorporate into this band?
The sousaphone or tuba can be found in everything from polkas and waltzes, if you're doing some of the older time music. I've played tuba in a 19th century brass band, so for basically the last 150 years or so, tubas have been part of music in the United States. So you can go from that all the way up to the early jazz bands were using a tuba on the bass instrument rather than an upright bass or string bass. Dixieland bands use that commonly. And you can even go up to Mexican banda music, uses a tuba as the bass instrument.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, and you do the bass, but you also sometimes play the melody.
I play the melody. I take solos, sure.
Yeah.
It's not just playing a bass line.
Yeah. So you have a lot of fun with that instrument. Well, it's great. And so you have been together as a group since 2011. And how long was it just the three of you?
Well, it was really off and on. We had other drummers come through the band and try doing stuff with us for a while, but we always played gigs as just a brass trio, too, and then sometimes with drums. And the last few years, when Andy decided to join a couple years ago, that's when we got our real momentum towards kind of creating songs where the drum is a real integral part of how the song gets created. And the band has started to compose a little as full band compositions now, mm-hmm. and not just whatever Hal brings to us, no matter how great it is.
So Hal, when you are writing songs, what instrument do you write them on generally? What do you use, or do you use a variety of them?
I use a variety of instruments. Some mm-hmm. songs, we have a reggae song I wrote on electric bass.
Mm-hmm.
We have a trance song that I wrote on a baritone.
Mm-hmm.
We have a newer one that we're not actually going to be playing tonight, that I wrote on a synthesizer. So I just move around to different instruments. Wherever it hits me, that's where I start with the idea for the song. And then usually I use a computer to store that part, and I start layering parts on top of it.
And then so you take that demo, as it were, and then translate it into different instruments, it sounds like.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of fun. I it's very rare for me to have people in here who write on a different instrument than they end up performing on. So I suppose that's normal.
It's normal for horn players. I know mm-hmm. I don't have near the compositional experience that Hal does, but when I do write parts, I tend to write it on piano, just because as horn players, you're only playing one note at a time, so it's harder, at least for me, to hear harmonies. I need to get on a piano and think, okay, do these notes work together at once? Because, of course, I can't replicate that on my trombone. And I don't have these guys at my beck and call 24 hours a day to come in and play it. So
that actually makes a lot of sense. So yeah. I was thinking, you know, I was thinking from a non-musician's perspective, but thinking, you know, and of course there are composers who compose for other instruments all the time that
yeah.
they are not necessarily playing. So so it really has that element to it. Well, what you do is really fun. And so your last album was 2017, right? And that was your first album as well,
correct?
Right? Full length.
Yep.
So did that have drums on it at all?
It did.
Oh,
it was
did.
A different
okay.
drummer. Jeffrey mm-hmm. Dunitz played. It was a very
okay.
good drummer as well. And then Andy joined us probably, what, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago? I had played with Andy in a previous rock and roll band back in the early 2000s, and when we were looking for a new drummer, I told these guys, boy, if we could get Andy Deckard in here, that would be fantastic. But I'm sure he's too busy, and he won't be interested. And I hadn't talked to him in about 4 or 5 years. I called him up, and he said, absolutely. Came right on down and kind of blew us away. We had a couple other drummers we knew in, too, who also were very good, and just kind of a little tryout. And there was no question after that Andy was the guy. And we were pleasantly surprised that he agreed to join us. So
nice. And so what has that done musically to have a drummer into the equation? How does that change what you're able to play, how you arrange things?
Well, I think it helps us a lot with parts that get real complex in terms of the timing with the three horns, where we'll play off each other. We won't be afraid to take off in a different direction because we've got that beat. And then Andy, the type of drummer he is, he'll listen to the songs that we're doing and really start coming up with, what's my idea to make this a more full song rather than just I'm keeping the beat.
Mm-hmm. He has great augmentation to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not just that he's doing exactly what the bass is doing. He'll come up with a totally different part. So four musicians, four different independent parts going on. Sometimes he's the timekeeper, sometimes I'm the timekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have that flexibility to bounce off and do different things that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're always the lazy duo over here.
Yeah.
The trombone and trumpet, like, these guys are holding it down.
Bass and drums do all the work. He not only is a fantastic timekeeper, which seems like an obvious job for a drummer, but he's especially good at it. But I also find he shapes parts. You can hear ebbs and flows in his own parts throughout the music. He's not just back there playing a beat. He creates a soundscape on the drums that's pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever played with a drummer that can do that as well as he can. I play with a lot of drummers, so.
Well, and like all of you, he has an extensive resume of things that he's done, and some pretty darn cool things, and lots of touring, and
yeah.
On and on and on. He's got other bands that he's in, and so, yeah, all of you are doing other so many wonderful things. In fact, there is the three of you, one of the other projects you were in is Eleganza. Is that, tell me about that.
Well, that goes back, that's how Hal and I met, actually, was the first iteration of that band back in 2005. We were in the 7th Street Entry basement, and it was they had this old cover song contest. It was real fun. Before tribute bands, when bands that didn't know the music just tried to do it for one gig, that was how fun those were. That's when we met, and that led to Chuglin, and now we've played with them again as they've become a pretty big band down in town, and there was this old Rolling Stones doing the whole Exile on Main Street record, and we did that once back in 2005, and then we did it once again just last year, and we joined them for that,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great, great time. It was a wonderful time.
Fun.
Yeah. Not the easiest record to do either.
you need 12 or 13 people to do it.
Yes. I think we had 15 on stage at one point during the 7th Street entry, which, for those of you who've been there, it's a small stage. It was tight quarters, to say the least. But it was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to do next?
This one's called Cool Moods, rather than our hip-shaking beer jazz. We think of this as more of a chamber jazz tune.
Brasilla live from Studio A. And is that one on your previous album? On an album?
That's on the 2017 full-length called Bronzy.
Got it. So we talked a little bit, Hal, about some of the other instruments that you play, and I'm just looking here, and you are in a bunch of other bands. You're in a Dixieland band, right?
That's right.
And also, I'm very interested because I read somewhere that you have been a Civil War reenactor. Is that true?
That is true. I have been involved in historical interpretation of the mid-19th century, specifically the American Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that, I've done wearing civilian clothes, being militia for the North or the South, and fighting in battles. I've also done things that are related to showing what civilian life was like during the war. Soldiers' aid societies, for example, providing aid to the troops. I've taught mid-19th century dances. And been involved in theatrical production. So we put on plays that were period plays done in a period way for people.
Wonderful. So history is a part of one of your interests as well. And
yes.
You're also in a band that plays 19th century brass band music, says mainly at historic sites.
Yes.
So that sounds like some fun stuff as well.
It's a lot of fun doing the research to find the music and then working up what it's going to sound like, because a lot of that music isn't played today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's intriguing, and as a composer, it's nice for me to study both the 20s and 30s jazz from the Dixieland group and the 19th century popular music to influence what I do with this group.
Where do you find some of that material?
Oh, some of it's hidden at the Library of Congress, if you know how to look.
Mm-hmm.
Other sources, there are a variety of well, it's really hard sometimes, frankly.
It's not just all there on the internet when you search 19th century
no.
music.
I was lucky enough in the Dixieland band. I was able to get a hold of some band books that had been used by a Dixieland band from San Antonio that had been playing from the 30s all the way through the late 60s.
Wow.
And getting their collection of material really helped provide raw material for us and a lot of songs that I can't find a recording of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun.
Wow. But so this group has done some of that stuff, or your 19th century band?
my Dixieland group.
Your
Dixieland,
okay.
A few of those may have walked into what Brassilla does as well.
They've trickled in here and there.
One of the shows that we had put together for Brassilla at an interesting site in Hastings, Minnesota, was to do a Decades of Jazz. So we played some songs from every decade of the last 100 years of jazz.
Wow.
That was a challenge.
With our instrumentation, that was a bit more of a challenge. No corded instruments, no piano or guitar.
Yeah, I was like, my trumpet playing might not be quite where Jelly Roll Morton's piano playing is. You know, those lines was kind of my, I was like, yeah, Dal, this is tough.
I'll do my best.
But it's fun to play the variety of jazz as it's gone through the decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you two are in a garage rock band as well, you and Bob, Al and Bob.
Well, the Silverteens is, we play with them pretty often, actually, just played with them at Art of Whirl, and they're a lot of old 80s punk rockers. They had bands in the 80s, and they've done some really fun stuff with garage rock tunes now, and those guys play pretty regularly. Hal plays bass trombone in that one with the trumpet, so that's what we do, and Zach has played with them sometimes, too, over time, and they just find all these great, obscure 50s, 60s, 70s garage rock tunes that some of them have horns, and then we come up with parts sometimes when they don't. And it's quite different from this band, obviously, which gives us a nice break.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you all just have, you get to do so many different kinds of music. That must be really fun and keep things fresh all the time.
It's the beauty of playing horns. I mean, they're surprisingly versatile. You know, we've all played in everything from orchestras to punk bands to rock and roll, obviously jazz being a big one. But, yeah, I mean, it's being a horn player, there aren't a whole lot of us around. So, you know, when somebody's looking for horns, they sometimes come looking for us. It's a nice position to be in.
Well, and as far as bands that are just horns, there are hardly any.
Right.
So do you play a lot in the Twin Cities? What are the opportunities for that down there?
Yeah, we've traditionally played a lot in the Twin Cities. We're making concerted efforts, hence the trip here, to try to get outstate mm-hmm. more. I'm from southwestern Minnesota originally, and we have some contacts up here up in the northern part of the state, too. And so we're trying to play a lot of gigs around smaller towns in outstate Minnesota this year.
Nice.
Yeah, our dream is to play in St. James. We like to say we're from Watonwan County.
Watonwan County, that's where I grew up, yeah. Working on getting a gig in my hometown.
Well, and so, Bob, you actually went to school here at UMD, and I imagine you spent some time on this hall.
Yeah, I did.
And were you a music major?
I did. I was a music minor for my first 2 years up here before. And I did play, and there was three jazz bands, and I played in the third band my first year and the second band mm-hmm. my second year, and it was great stuff. I didn't continue, though. I didn't get into the music theory and stuff, and I did go through the Study in England program that came out of UMD. I don't know if they still do it today, and that was fabulous, but I didn't take my horn, and that was 20 years before I played my horn again. So this has been my little bit later in life ability to play again.
So what got you back into it?
One of the bands I played in, the band I played in the most, GST, Greg Schaefer was an old friend of mine, and we were at the Soul Asylum 20th anniversary show. This would have been 2001 or so, and he was in bands that warmed up for them for that gig. And I ran into him, and he said he needed a trumpet player. And I said, I'd had a couple beers. So I said, hey, I'm your guy. And then the next morning, he sent me an email. And I said, oh, my nephew has my trumpet. And that began, so back in 2001, that's what got me playing again.
And when he contacted you, did you say, oh, what did I get myself into here?
Well, he had already explained to me that it was a nice, loose, easy way to get into playing, and that turned out to really be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me prepared to play the much more difficult stuff that Hal composes compared to that. That is much more of a kind of a compositional improv, just kind of loose, a lot of listening in that band. And we learned a lot of jazz, too, over the years, but they came from a rock background, too, like we found with a lot of our stuff. So very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so you just have been playing in bands ever since?
Yeah, since that came up in 2001. Now all of a sudden,
18 years. Oh, my God.
Well, what fun. What, yeah. You know, that's really great. Obviously, it was something that you missed or, you know, or you wouldn't have.
I knew that. Yeah. I thought I would maybe end up in, you know, playing in the community band on the 4th of July when I retired. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I thought at the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, Zach, how about you? What's your background?
I have a little bit more of a background. Well, similar to both you guys. I was a band geek, frankly, and, you know, in middle school and high school. Played in the marching band, the concert band, the jazz band. Did all that. Went on to college. Was playing in the jazz band there. Then I took about a year off. I had some dental surgery that kind of, you know, I couldn't play for quite a while. And then I just didn't play for a little while after that, even though I would have been able. And then junior year of college, joined up with a kind of a reggae funk band. They were looking for a couple horns, and so I got the horn back out. So yeah, that was the only break I ever really had in my life, was about a year off in college. So I played in the, I never got back into any of the college, official college bands, but played with them just, you know, some student bands, the last couple of years of college, and then never stopped. Nice. So I've been playing in rock and roll bands and this band ever since.
Mm-hmm. And so with all the other projects that y'all have going on, where does this project fit into all of that?
Well, for me, it's my primary band. This is the only band that I play in very regularly. I've sat in with the Silver Teens and Eleganza a bunch of times, you know, bands that these guys have played in some. And, of course, we're all in Chuglin together. But right now, this is my only primary band. So,
Well, let me turn the question around to you. What's your favorite meal of the day? Oh. Do you eat only one meal a day, or do you find it necessary to have more than one?
Yeah, and snacks. Don't forget
snacks.
Snacks,
there you go, yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it's a real primary, though, for me, too, at this point. I mean, Hal's leading three bands, so it's a little different for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a primary focus, and especially because we're writing as a band. I mean, that always makes it much more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's so different from the other things you do, because the horns are just kind of an accompaniment with those things. Whereas this, you're the main thing. You're the main thing all the time.
Yeah, if we put our horns down, you don't hear sounds.
Exactly. There's no show. And I'm assuming you're all playing on each song. Nobody gets to sit out. And well,
they take breaks all the time. I never stop.
All the sousaphone solos. Lots and lots of sousaphone solos.
Yeah.
Well, Hal, it sounds like you're a pretty creative guy, and you just like to have a lot of different outlets for that. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's the best way to put it.
And it sounds like you've got a pretty ideal situation for you, you know?
It's kind of unstoppable, I would say.
Nice. Well, let's hear one more song, what do you want to finish up with here? And I have to run out of the room and get my camera. So it's not you. When I run out of the room, it's not you.
You wouldn't be the first person we've chased out of rooms before. No, this next song is called Bang Bang, and all three of these songs are original Hal songs. So. Thank you.
That's Brasilla live from Studio A. Well, thank you so much, everybody. And I forgot to mention one other thing that we had talked about before we went on. That's your side project, Grasszilla, that we were joking about beforehand. So your album, your EP, which, what's the name of the EP? It's All Day Music is
All
what
Day
it's
Music,
called.
Yeah.
And it was recorded at Sparta Sound by Rich Madsen, as so many bands, locally bands here are. And why did you choose Rich? I think you told me you have a connection with him.
Well, we had both Hal and Andy had connections with him, and we just knew we wanted to get up and just have that weekend where we could clear our minds. And in a place like Sparta, you know, the snow was in there by early December, of course, and you take a little walk out in the town and just come back to the music, and you don't have any other distractions. And so we did it in a 3-day weekend. There is a full length that'll be released in September, so we have another 6 tracks or so that we got in that weekend. And it was just a wonderful experience to be able to focus on the music. And he joked about how there are no guitars in this band. And that's when he pulled out all the stringed instruments and we held them, and he called us Grasszilla. So that was pretty good.
And he posted it on the internet and people thought it was real.
Yes, it was wonderful. When can I see this band? And we're like, well, we look like we're playing.
Well, I was thinking about that when I saw that Rich had produced the album. Like, he probably doesn't do a heck of a lot of brass bands. He's usually doing rock and
just
rock
like
stuff.
Like you had said before, you know, he had recorded horns as accompanying instruments in other bands, but now I think we were the first all brass band, well, all brass and Andy,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Band that he had ever recorded. So I think he seemed to enjoy it. We certainly enjoyed it. I don't know if you've talked to other musicians that have recorded up there, but his setup is, it's his house. It's half house, half studio. So you just wake up in the morning, go straight into the studio, and
they are the most hospitable. He and Jermaine are the most hospitable people you will ever meet. And they have a cute dog.
Great host, great dog, two great cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've heard nothing but good things. Well, good. I'm glad. And the EP sounds fantastic. And if you want to hear some of the songs from the EP that they weren't able to do today because they didn't have the drums, they're going to be able to play them tonight. So, and I think what we heard was pretty fantastic, so it's going to be even better.
Yes.
Even better.
Andy will make us better, we promise.
And again, that EP release show for Brasszilla is at Beaner Central tonight at 7 o'clock. Andy Lipke and Gio Pooks also performing. Thank you so much, everybody. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.